Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. I'm Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Walker Wildman. From Dallas, Dr. Ray Pritchard. I kind of stepped in it, so to speak, last hour when I was making fun of people with advanced degrees, and Fred threw me under the bus by saying, "Oh yeah, how's Dr. Ray Pritchard doing?"
So hey, I'm it's piled high and deep here in Dallas, and we're doing just fine.
Good one, Ray. And in the studio is Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Good morning, Steve, or for those on the East Coast, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Ed. And somewhere in that pile of stuff, there's probably a pony.
We're digging as hard as we can.
Yeah, that's an old joke. That goes back a while. So
before my time.
Before your time, as most of our jokes are, yeah, unfortunately. Right. And most of our cultural references. For some reason, we got into a discussion about Jordache jeans during the break, and we actually looked that up, and you talk about a blast from the past. All right, Steve.
Hey.
What kind of important news? I know you got a couple of funny things or good news stories for later at the end. We want to get time.
You want to go in that order? Because you always throw me under the bus here for having just the worst of the news.
Hey, it's better you than me.
Yeah? Okay. Well, let me tell you.
That you pick.
Top of the news at onenewsnow.com. Onenewsnow.com. We have an article about Howard Dean saying that there's no room for pro-lifers in the Democrat Party. We have an article from our Charlie Butts about the six-figure salaries, the folks at Planned Parenthood.
We talked about both of those stories last hour. Those are on One News Now, right?
OneNewsNow.com. And Chad Groening, who wrote about an Episcopal church in somewhere that has put a section for Muslim worshipers in their church.
What?
What?
An Episcopal church, and did I bring it? I think I brought it. This is All Saints Episcopal Church in Bentonville, Arkansas. Thank you. That's home of Walmart, by the way.
Walmart.
Yeah.
Recently signed a letter of agreement to build a communal place of worship with the Bentonville Islamic Center. Leaders of the two congregations, along with Bentonville's Jewish community, have been discussing plans for an interfaith sacred space for almost 3 years.
Oh, folks, brother. I'm sorry, but you're about to hear a grown man vomit on the air.
Oh my!
Look, Ray. I just got to tell you. Now, it has been true for the Episcopal Church in general. There are still some good conservative Anglican churches, and
most
Episcopal
of them have
churches.
Gone Anglican. Yeah,
most of them have gone Anglican. But it has been true, I'm afraid, for a while in this country and probably in England. Not so overseas, where there are still faithful, Bible-believing Anglican churches and Episcopal, but they would be Church of England related. But it has been true for a while that they do not take the Scripture seriously. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking, what fellowship does Christ have with Belial? What fellowship is there between light and darkness? How can an Episcopal church worship with Muslims?
Well, the answer is, if they're going to be true to their roots, they can't. If they're going to be true to the 39 articles as written, to the kind of gospel that was preached by J.I. Packer, or is preached by J.I. Packer, John Stott, and J.C. Ryle in the last century. I mean, there were a lot, as you guys know, a lot of really great Anglican theologians.
And N.T. Wright is still in the, he's Anglican, isn't he?
Yes, yes, he is. I mean, a lot of great gospel preaching has come out of the Church of England across the generations. What has happened in the Episcopal Church in America in really just a few years, the shocking moral and spiritual decline. And I think it happens when you turn away from the authority of the Bible as the absolute word of God. Once you're no longer sure the Bible is really true, then how can you really stand on John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you just keep following that road, that spiral as it goes downhill. What do you end up with? In Bentonville, Arkansas, you end up with interfaith worship spaces between the Muslims and the Christians. It's an abomination.
It is an abomination, and it is an apostate denomination in this country. I'm just going to say it. And again, I know personally people, very close friends that go to Episcopal churches, And there are Episcopal churches that, as you said, Steve, that have not become a part of the Anglican breakaway in this country. They're still within the Episcopal denomination. They still hold to the truth of Scriptures. But the let's put it this way, the leadership of that denomination are apostates. I mean, that is just, if that's not an apost, if that's not a sign of an apostate church worshiping with Muslims, I don't. Then there's no such thing.
Ray, I appreciate it so much what you just said too, because when the Anglican or the Episcopal Church first started going south, it was stories over the election of the Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury.
Right.
Gene Robinson, I think his name was.
Oh, no, he was. That's the bishop in New Hampshire.
Right.
Well, who was the... Well, anyway, it was a...
I know you're talking about the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I can't recall his name.
Anyway, it was over sexuality.
Right.
And we started covering the story when I was working at Focus. It broke, and I started covering the story as a story having to do with sexuality. But very quickly, people like yourself, Ray, kind of informed me that what this was really... was a departure from the authority of Scripture.
Well, if you go back, I think this thing about electing gay bishops and so on inside the Episcopal Church, they have lost their moorings. They've let go of the foundation. I mean, I have read the 39 articles of the Church of England. It's a wonderful statement of biblical truth. I mean, and it lines up with the great doctrines of the Reformation. But when you no longer believe the Bible is the Word of God, the end of that road is anything goes. Yeah. And so that's what's happening.
It's also a good reminder to those of us who are in evangelical churches who haven't taken this road that we need to pay more attention to Scripture. We need to be in the Word,
yes,
too. Because I have a feeling, sadly, if you were to take a quiz or maybe give a test to those even in good churches, how often they read their Bible, how well they're acquainted with it. I mean, many Christians probably fall far short of where we'd like them to be.
Well, you know what they say, Steve. Now you've stopped preaching and you've gone to meddling right there. But it is the kind of question, folks, that we're not asking you, but even us as we broadcast, we ought to look in the mirror and say, we call ourselves Bible Christians. How devoted are we to the Word of God, to learning it, believing it, and living it out?
Well, Rowan Williams was the Archbishop of Canterbury,
right,
that kind of opened the door for that. And my mind's just going blank. The head of the Episcopal Church in this country, the lady that they elected right after the time of Vicki Jean Robinson being consecrated as a bishop. I'll tell you, and I don't want to just beat up on the Episcopalians the whole time. We want to move on. But I remember writing a number of articles for the AFA Journal when that bishop, Gene Robinson, was consecrated. He was an open homosexual, was consecrated as a bishop in New Hampshire. And I'll never forget, we found a picture from Associated Press of these other bishops. It was from a picture from above down upon the platform where all the bishops were surrounding Gene Robinson, who at the time was living with his male lover, and they had their hands on him. They were consecrating him, and I thought, that is like a God view of what is happening. And I said, at that point, I started saying, they've gone apostate. If their bishops can do that, it's an apostate denomination, and it has only gotten worse. And what you just said has happened in Bentonville is just a sign of worse things to come. All right, enough with the Episcopalians. Because I'm upset, so we need to move
on
to something else that'll still
calm
make me
down?
Upset, but just not as badly.
Well, okay, let's go in the same vein then. I'm still debating on what order to give these to you, but
it doesn't matter.
How about this one? We have a school in Indiana, Lincoln Junior High School, who the parents are a little bit upset because their 12-year-olds were required to watch a video. Was entitled LGBTQ, Understanding Sexual Orientation and Gender Identities, and they were also required to answer a questionnaire about what is sexual orientation, what is an LGBTQ ally, etc. And the parents were not told that this was going to happen. Listen to a little bit of what's in this video.
I have a close friend at my school who this past year came out as lesbian, and she just came into the room and stood up and she was like, "Everybody, I'm coming out, I'm lesbian." And we all just like started clapping, and we were all so happy for her.
If you have a Gay Straight Alliance at your school, to reach out to the advisor, let them know what's going on with you.
We try to introduce ourselves at each meeting and share our gender pronouns.
Hi guys, I'm Nicole or Charlie. My GPs are she, her, or he, him. It's kind of fluid. You don't need to stress about getting it right.
When I transitioned, I had a lot of acceptance from school kids. They give me hugs, they listen, they cry, and they're like, oh my God, you're so beautiful because you overcame this. I'm just like, I'm just being who I am, man. Like, it's nothing big.
We say acceptance isn't enough, to tolerate someone isn't enough. We need to embrace different communities, including LGBTQ.
Sometimes I get people say, oh, you're too pretty to be a lesbian. And it's like, I don't really think that's how it works.
That's what the kids were shown?
That's what the kids were shown, and the nice, beautiful, thoughtful music underneath it.
Yeah, you know, they try to present this, and this almost goes back to the garden in Genesis. Satan presents things as great, wonderful, you know, eat from this tree, and then you do it and you realize it's not so wonderful. And I say that would reflect the lifestyle of some who engage in homosexuality, who indulge themselves in that and celebrate it. You know, that people don't really want this. When you get to it, it's dark, it leaves you empty. That's just discouraging right there.
Well, you know, it's a very seductive video with that little clip you played. I mean, Walker, I agree 100% with what you said, but the way they did it, and Steve with that music underneath, it doesn't sound dark. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound bad. And Satan comes, disguises himself as an angel of light. What a message to send to these impressionable young people. Not only are we to tolerate, not only are we to accept, we must embrace this kind of lifestyle. I don't blame the parents for being upset about this. It's horrific that this was mandated in this school.
And you know, Steve, to go to Ray's point, that was very slick. And this movement has been slick in terms of crafty for at least the last 20 years. But that little statement that the young man made, it's not enough to tolerate. You must embrace. And all the other discussions, the little testimonies of these of the homosexual kids and the transgender kids talking about how everyone applauded. These kids are getting that message. It's not enough to tolerate. You must embrace. And that's what they are doing. Now, I want to say here before, Steve, I want you to respond. I want our listeners to know, we're not angry at gay young people.
No.
And we're not angry at young people who are confused about their gender. That must be a very difficult battle that they are facing, okay? So we're not angry with anybody. What I don't like is brainwashing. And when you're brainwashing other people's kids, that's where we need to draw a line.
There's a difference in my mind, Ed, between a person who all people are of inestimable worth because they are made in the image of Christ, of God, whether they are straight, whether they are gay, whether they have whatever sin they might come with, Jesus died for that and for them, and we love them with the love of Christ. We hope for them the salvation that we have found in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that we have found in Jesus Christ. What we fight against is the political lobby, is the professional organizations that want to change our culture, our children, our families, our churches, that are at war with those of us who have a biblical worldview. That's what we're fighting against, not the people.
Right. And I mentioned this in an interview the other day. You know, in order for us to effectively convey our beliefs and justify them, we have to go back to the basics, and these are the things our movement, Christians, have been arguing for decades now. That is that homosexuality and behavior, sexually immoral behavior, is unhealthy, unbiblical, and immoral, as I mentioned. And so if we can convey that, you know, of course in a compassionate and loving manner, but convey those truths to the culture and maybe those who disagree with us, then we can begin to gain ground. But I flinch when people say that they oppose this but they never give a justification and they never explain it in an articulate manner, because it looks like we're just opposition. We just oppose everything that other people do. But instead, we need to explain effectively why we oppose it. And really, it's out of love. We're looking out for the best interest of our fellow humans.
Well, this goes back to a discussion we had a few moments ago. Steve, the challenge has never been greater for pastors and youth leaders and parents and anybody who's concerned about the next generation, to go to Walker's point too, that we have got to find a way to speak the truth in love. And we must not make a choice. We must not say, I'll speak truth and forget about love, or we're going to love people and not speak the truth. Mm-hmm. If we're going to make a difference, and I am not saying that's easy. It's a daily challenge for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to find a way to these young people and to their parents who are so badly confused and spiritually blinded by Satan. We got to love them enough to hang in there with them and not get angry. I'm thinking about that verse in Proverbs, a soft answer turns away mm-hmm. wrath. Remember, folks, if you lose your temper, you've already lost the battle. You may be right on the theology, but if you lose your temper, you're not going to win anybody. So we got to pray and say, Lord, help us to be truthful in our loving and loving in our truth telling, mm-hmm. and ask God to do something big in the hearts of this young generation.
Yep. Perfect way to express that, Ray. Thank you. All right, Steve, we are running out of time. We got several. Whatever we can fit in here, okay. let's do it for us.
Let me talk about a gender swap that isn't quite as objectionable to you, perhaps. So a couple of professors at New York University, at NYU, these are Maria Guadalupe and Joe Salvatore. They were liberal professors, and they advised an experiment. They were set on proving the gender bias in this last election, right? So what they did was they hired a couple of actors. They hired a man who was a good actor, and they showed him Hillary Clinton's stump speech and her debates. And he studied her mannerisms, her facial expressions. He studied her way of delivery, her even some of her accents. And then they hired a woman who did the same thing with Donald Trump. And they were determined to set these two out. And you're going to hear a little clip of a debate that they recreated, with the woman being Donald Trump and the man being Hillary Clinton. The thought that they wanted to prove was that people would hate Hillary even more if they would not accept the message that Donald Trump was bringing if it was brought by a woman. So there's right. proving gender bias. Now, remember, in this clip that we're going to play right now, when you hear the man talking, he's being Hillary Clinton. And when you hear the woman talking, she's being Donald Trump.
You want to approve Trans-Pacific Partnership. You were totally in favor of it. Then you heard what I was saying, how bad it is, and you said, I can't win that debate. But you know that if you did win, you would approve that, and that would be almost as bad as NAFTA. Well, nothing will ever top NAFTA.
That is just not accurate. I was against it once it was finally negotiated and the terms were laid out. I wrote about that.
You called it the gold standard.
I wrote about well,
you
I
called
hope
it the
that,
gold standard of trade.
And you know what?
You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
Then you heard what I was saying and all of a sudden you were against it.
Well, I know you live in your own reality, Brenda, but yeah. That is not the facts.
So
that's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
I would have voted for that woman.
Well, and this is what they found. The goal of her opponent, was the name of the project, was to prove that people would not have accepted Trump's aggressive behavior had it come from a woman, and that Hillary's debate style would have been much more likable if she were a man. Well, what they, however, found, where they were unsettled to discover that the opposite was true. Trump became more likable as a woman, and Hillary became even less likable as a man.
So these researchers were trying to get at voters. Republican voters are probably sexist.
Right.
You know, only a man can get away with this. But if we had a woman, you know, like a Carly Fiorina that was as tough as Trump on these issues, I would have voted for her.
This is their quote, we both thought that the inversion would confirm our liberal assumption that no one would have accepted Trump's behavior from a woman and that the male Clinton would seem like a much stronger candidate. But we kept checking in with each other and realized that this disputation, the major change of perception was happening. I had an unsettling feeling the whole way through.
That's good stuff.
That is awesome. They were looking for, they expected to find gender bias, and what they found instead was that people gravitate towards their ideological perspective. If you're a conservative, you don't care who it's coming from, male or female.
So, and this is their, again, quoting from them, this is their outcome. The simplicity of Trump's message became easier for people to hear when it was coming from a woman, Salvatore explained, sharing the reaction of a female audience member who said the male version of Clinton was very punchable because he smiled too much.
Punchable. Wow. All right, that's great. All right, what else you got?
Last story here. This is great. This is a teenage kid, and I looked on his Twitter feed, and he looks about 16, 15 or 16. He's got a little sister. His little sister keeps goldfishes. He decided one day, because he noticed his little sister wasn't really caring for her goldfishes, so he replaced the goldfishes with two baby...
Okay, wait, and I got to stop you here. Is it goldfishes or goldfish?
Goldfish.
Sorry. Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Let's ask the guy who's got a doctor in front of his name. No, go ahead.
Thank you
very much. Going goldfish, right?
Okay. So he replaced his little sister's goldfish with two baby carrots.
This is hilarious.
So the two baby carrots are sitting at the bottom of her fish tank, and he wants to see how long it's going to take her to notice. He's on so far on day four. She hasn't noticed a thing yet. And the Twitterverse has picked up on this. The tweet that Mr. Annis posted on Sunday was been retweeted more than 67,000 times and liked almost 200,000 times by Wednesday. One Twitter user replied back, "She doesn't care at all about her fish."
Now, we do need to point out that, because this is a like an 11 or 12-year-old boy.
No,
right?
No, he's about a 17-year-old boy, 17. I'm thinking it's 11 or 12-year-old girl.
Okay, all right. But now, for those who are immediately alarmed at the fate of the actual goldfish...
"They're safe in my tank where I fed them regularly, better than before," he said. And he showed a photo of the fish. They appear to be swimmingly new in their new SpongeBob-themed habitat.
Well, and so... This is why you talked about this morning. You said we've got to at least let our listeners have a little bit of a smile.
There you go.
This is a 17-year-old boy who said, "I don't think she's paying attention. I don't think she's taking care of her goldfish." And he is proving it. The good news here, I think, not only will and Ray, I'll let you jump in here, but not only will this girl hopefully learn a lesson, but it is proving apparently that she is not obsessed with social media, because she apparently doesn't know the Twitterverse is blowing up over there.
And to be clear, no goldfish were harmed during this experiment.
No,
right?
But the interesting thing is that people now are saying they should take the carrots away from her because she doesn't feed them. One of the listeners says, "Why were there no floating food pellets? Does the sister usually never feed her fish, or are the carrots eating the fish food? I'll be right back. I'm buying pet carrots."
Oh, man.
This is hilarious. I just posted this on our Facebook page, and the young man has an actual image that he's posted on his
The two carrots
Twitter account. Yeah, of the two carrots sitting at the bottom of the jug of water.
And I got to say, my kids have owned goldfish in the past. Those two carrots laying at the bottom of that, I've seen that before.
But they usually go belly up and float.
They go belly up and
right.
float, yeah.
There's going to be a toilet carrot funeral pretty soon, I think.
That is great. And this young man, this is pretty slick. This guy's a problem solver, and I think he's got a good career ahead of him in something.
He's got a future.
Well, look, Dr. Ray Pritchard has been on with us. KeepBelieving.com. is where to go to find a wealth of information. If you want to have Dr. Ray, he didn't ask me to do this, I'm going to do it anyway. If you want to have Dr. Ray come speak at your conference, your Bible conference.
He'll do it for
at
free.
Your church.
No,
he won't. But he
will.
Come,
that's
he
for
will
sure.
come. Walker Wildman, thanks for being with us, Walker.
Thank you.
Steve Jordahl, some great stories.
Thank you.
Folks, this is it for today's issues on Thursday, March 9th. Aren't you glad nothing much is going on in the world? Tomorrow we'll be back. You know it's Friday. You know it's coming tomorrow. You're listening to American Family Radio. We'll see you.